On tonight's show, we have Russell Smith. Russell is the pastor of Covenant First Presbyterian Church in downtown Cincinnati. And Russell is joining us again on this podcast to discuss using technology for virtual church services in the COVID-19 era.
If you're ready to learn how technology is driving business innovation in Cincinnati and beyond, you're tuned in to the right podcast. Join us for interviews and discussions with business leaders, innovators, and visionaries. With our host, Sam Schulte, CEO of Unstoppable Software. This is Unstoppable Talk.
Russell, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. It's great to talk with you again. So I guess just to kind of sync people's memory back up, you were our guest on the show for episode number 2. This is probably, as we're recording, around episode number 30. And you're the pastor of, like I said, Covenant First Presbyterian Church downtown. Maybe briefly just refresh folks' memory about your organization as it is downtown there.
Sure. We are a historic old congregation in a great big old historic building. Been there. We've been in existence since 1790. We've been in that building since 1875. A very traditional congregation and traditional, particularly in our worship style, worship presentation. We still have an organ, a choir, classical style music. We sing hymns from a hymnal. So not a congregation that you would necessarily think of as really technologically on point. You know, it's very old school. And of course, when we talked last, you were interested in the Night Owl Bible study that we had done, where we had started up a online Bible study using Facebook and using that as a way to conduct a virtual Bible study that could be open to anyone in the country or anyone in the world. And that had produced some really interesting results. And that's what we were talking about last time.
Exactly. And I thought it'd be good to reconnect just because I was talking to someone who had listened to that episode and actually shared that episode, as you said, which was about Facebook live streaming with some other pastors in the Midwest here in Indianapolis, that all of a sudden, as you know, in your business, since your services rely on large gatherings of people, that's pretty difficult in an area where we have social distancing and all of these sort of shutdowns. And so some of those pastors are really struggling to figure out all these tools all of a sudden, and whereas you're sort of a little bit ahead of the game. So that's why I thought it would be interesting to sort of dive back into this and talk about where you're at now, and maybe it'll be helpful for folks who, even if they're, you know, whether they're public speakers or any other kind of industries outside of religious organizations, that they might be able to figure out some of these challenges. So maybe a first question to ask before we get into sort of some of the technology stuff, can you talk a little bit about, you know, how your church decided, I think at the time, you know, initially it was sort of an optional thing and then maybe became a non-optional thing at a certain point of, you know, not holding in-person services. What was that decision process like, and how did you all struggle with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a fascinating process, and we're still kind of living this out right now as we're recording this, that every week there's something new, there's a change as we've been watching these things develop. Of course, in late February, early March, that's when things really started to heat up here, and people were starting to get anxious and start paying attention to this. I believe the governor started talking about people trying to voluntarily stay home, not gather in large groups, sometime in early March. And I remember mm-hmm. One of the things we have to understand is the Presbyterian Church is a church that's ruled by elders. You know, we elect elders to run the church. So we've got a board of elders that the congregation elects. And yeah, I've got 9 elders. They're all people that work in different fields, different industries. They're volunteers that help run the church, and they're the ultimate decision-making body. And so I've just had to stay in touch with them all throughout this. And so I've been in constant communication with them. And so I guess the first week we did something different. It was one of those early weeks in March when the initial pronouncement came out, no gatherings larger than 100. Now that's right at the size of our average Sunday attendance is 100 to 110. And we're in a very, very large space. We have, we're in a space that could seat potentially on the ground floor, potentially 600, but it's designed as an amphitheater. So, you know, it's still a little bit more intimate than it sounds. So what we did that Sunday was we encouraged people to stay home and we were going to start live streaming. We had not been live streaming anything up to that point. And what we had done is we have for a very long time had a Facebook page and have been very robustly using that as a communications device to the congregation. So we've got a lot of Facebook followers, a lot of people that know to look on Facebook for information, and that played to our advantage. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we just live streamed on Facebook, and that first Sunday, I just put my laptop up in the pulpit and had a nice profile view of me. And then I picked up the laptop and turned it around when the choir was singing. We asked everybody to try to explore the space and spread out. We had maybe half our usual worship attendance that Sunday, and it, it worked pretty well. And, some people logged on and followed at home, and that worked really well. Well, by the next week, they were already cutting it down to no more than 50. The government was, the Ohio governor was really encouraging people to stay home. And, I had an email consult with all our elders just to make a quick vote. And the majority said, no, let's just live stream. So that was the first Sunday that we just went to live stream exclusively. And our choir at that point still decided they were going to come in and lead worship musically. So we had a choir of about 9 people, and we spaced them out. And this is where it got kind of interesting, because of our space and because we decided to live stream and not have congregation members there in the sanctuary, I made a strategic choice that I was going to approach this the way I approach the Night Owl study, which is direct address to the camera. A lot of churches have been doing live stream in this scenario where it's just set up the camera and run worship like normal, and try to make it look like a TV broadcast of a normal worship service. Now, there are other churches that have gone a completely different direction and broadcast from the pastor's home and made it very intimate like that. And that's pretty cool. We decided we were going to do it from the sanctuary, try to capture the feel of the sanctuary, but do it as direct address to the camera, to the person at home. So we tried to get the intimacy of speaking directly to the person and yet also the comfort of seeing the sanctuary, seeing the space. And that was turned out to be a really good choice for us. It just feels so much more intimate, and I've got a lot of really good feedback from folks. They really like the direct address rather than having it seem like it's just a video of everything is business as usual, and it's just a video of any old Sunday.
Let's take a quick break. This podcast is sponsored by Unstoppable Software, a Cincinnati-based technology consulting firm. At Unstoppable Software, we bolt on to your company's team and accelerate their ability to deliver custom software development projects. With our deep experience in manufacturing, engineering, and healthcare, we can tailor systems for process improvement, data analytics, machine learning, and document workflow, so they become a user-friendly, perfect fit for your employees and the way they want to work. To learn more about how we make our clients unstoppable, visit us at unstoppablesoftware.com or call us at 513-382-8499. And now, back to Unstoppable Talk.
So I watched your service on Sunday, and I thought it was interesting how, and I guess I don't know if I immediately, it really stuck out to me per se that you were doing that direct address method, but I think it made, but you're right. I mean, it kind of is, it seemed very natural, I guess. So it wasn't like, you know what I mean? And I'm not a videographer to notice that perhaps, but it was nice that you were talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically as you went through that service, you know, yourself, and I don't know if it's your music director, maybe who was there up there with you as well, or is it, if he's an assistant pastor, maybe, or.
Actually, he's one of our music scholars. Okay. He's a student that, you know, is part of our music team, and he volunteered to come in and be the soloist that morning, and I just put him to work and asked him to do a prayer as well. That's Miles Tolliver.
Okay.
Wilson, and really, really good guy.
Yeah, well, an amazing voice, and so and he would, you know, you all would sort of swap position in front of the camera. He would sing, and then you would kind of slide back in and say, you know, your portion or your whatever was next. And then I think it was interesting too that you would cut out to, I guess, pre-recorded bits of someone from your church doing a reading or something like that, sitting in their chair at home, which yeah. was cool because, so I'm interested in the technology of how you're sort of editing and staging all this live, but I thought it was also just really a cool feel because, you know, that lets people see, everybody's sitting at home. There they are. They're sitting at home. And I don't know. It has a neat vibe to it, I feel like.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was part of the development of it. So that first week when it was all live stream, nobody in the sanctuary, we didn't do that. I had mm-hmm. the choir there. I had all the choir members doing different parts of the worship service and kept putting different choir members up so we could maintain social distancing. But putting them up in different parts of the service to lead worship. The next week, my choir director and I consulted, and we felt like that was too many people in the space. Mm-hmm. We really need to convey the message, social distancing, social distancing. So we sent the choir home the next week. And so I was scrambling, trying to figure out, because part of what was so important to me is that, you know, community and conveying that sense of community, we're in this together. You know, I wanted the space in the camera because that's one of the things that really draws people. We've got a beautiful sanctuary, and it's just one of those touch points that really people emotionally connect with. Mm-hmm. But I want people to emotionally connect with one another. We're trying to build community. This isn't my show. This is all of us as the community trying to do this. And so I was just scrambling, and that's when it hit on me. Okay, well, maybe I can have video elements of the worship, have someone pre-record scripture, have someone pre-record a call to worship, someone pre-record a little mission presentation. And so we did that next week, and it worked great. And then, you know, you saw last week's worship service where we ratcheted that up a little bit and added a few other little elements. And yeah, it just flowed really, really well.
So it sounds like, you know, if folks are trying to figure out what they should focus on to make a success, you know, one thing, number one is to consider doing the direct address format, because then you're directing, engaging your audience members.
Mm-hmm.
Second is, you know, to remember that sense of community and try to not just make it a monologue of a guy standing in front of a camera,
mm-hmm.
You know, other faces with other messages and other locales or the locations can be good. But how are you doing that? You know, if we look specifically at cutting in the pre-recorded, you know, what's the start to finish workflow of that? Are people, you know, how are they getting that video to you? What are they recording it on? And then how are you kind of mixing that all in, and what are you using for that?
Sure. Well, first, you know, again, this is a learning and growth process. I'm trying new things every week. And so for the first couple of weeks, I just did a live stream on Facebook using Facebook's live stream interface.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wanted to cut in video, I knew I needed to do something different. So what I used was OBS, which is a free downloadable streaming software. And it, you know, it's one of the commonly used ones out there by people who do live streaming, and it's used a lot by video gamers, I found out.
Mm.
I had downloaded OBS back when I started doing the Night Owl study, and realized it worked pretty well, but the laptop I was using at the time just didn't have the horsepower to be running OBS and be running Facebook. And I had a lot of skipping. And of course, now I have a new laptop. I can thank a very good friend of mine who pointed me to a great place to get a new Mac.
Yeah, our good friend Brian Burke at Sell Your Mac.
Yes.
Was able to help you out there.
Yes, Brian was terrific. And that very good friend who pointed me there was a guy named Sam Schutte.
I always have the connections.
You got the connections, man. It's beautiful. It's marvelous. It's a wonderful thing to watch you at work. And so with this new Mac, now I've got the horsepower to use OBS. But I'd stopped using it for the Night Owl study because I didn't really need it. It was more tech than I needed for the Night Owl study. You know, the Night Owl study, I just go on, I do my thing, and I'm done. So I went back to play around. And you know, the wonderful thing about the era in which we live, you can learn anything using a little tool called YouTube. There are so many instructional videos, and everybody and their brother is putting out little helpful hints, just little steps to help you along the way. And I found someone that showed me how to incorporate video using OBS. You know, the other issue with OBS is by adding that extra piece of tech that also creates a lag between the audio and the video. And so I had to puzzle out how to solve that. And again, there's plenty of instructional stuff on the internet. You know, lots of people that just have, you know, all you have to do is type in the specific thing. How do you solve audio video lag issues in OBS? And you'll find a bunch of websites that can talk you through that. And you know, that's pretty much how I do my technical training, is one step at a time. What do I need right now? And go find the answer. So I got those issues resolved. And the nice thing is by teasing out how do I incorporate video into OBS, suddenly I figured out a whole bunch of other stuff. It's like, oh, this is what the transitions tool in OBS is for, you know, because OBS has two windows, the screen of what you're queuing up and the screen of what's playing, and you click transition and that transitions you in. I was like, oh, that's, and
then a fade or a wipe or something between, is that what you mean?
Yeah. You can choose a couple of different types of transitions. So I finally figured out, oh, that's what that tool is for. And then they've got another window for all these scenes. I had never understood what all the scenes were for. And then that's when things just started to fall into place for me. It's like, oh, you can have multiple scenes and you can transition from one to the other. And that's how I set up a worship service. Well, if I could have multiple scenes, I can have more than just video. As I'm looking at the loading in of the videos, it gives me all kinds of things I can load in. Oh, I can load in images as well. And so that's when I used another tool that I've used in other parts of ministry. I just went out to Canva, canva.com. It's a great, very simple graphics design program. And you know, with lots of templates, lots of fonts, you could upload photos, you can create and design all kinds of things, from brochures to business cards to social media posts. And I had used it for social media graphics for my blog back in the day. And so I just went to Canva, created some screens for our hymns and an intro screen. And so that we could have an intro screen while the organ was playing. And then, you know, when we got to the hymns, we're still doing hymns. Like I said, we're old school. We just put up a screen that's got a photo of one of our stained glass windows, again, trying to help people connect to the space, and the verses of the hymns. And yeah, the interesting thing there was figuring out how to cue those things up, you know, because you have to play around with the software a little bit, because each scene, you have to either turn on or turn off your microphone and all this stuff. You know, there are some interesting little quirks in OBS, but it all started to fall into place. You know, once you get a few things in place, that's when exponentially you start to figure things out, and you know, you start to get creative about what are the possibilities with the software?
Yeah. And so it sounds like, certainly that would be like the third piece of advice is, get OBS, make sure your laptop can support it. Obviously that's an important thing. And maybe we can include a couple links in the show notes here to some of the videos. If there's a couple of the videos you remember that have been most helpful out there, we could link to those for people and basically sort of create a storyboard, it sounds like, for what you want your content to be. If you want, some live, some recorded, some, images of lyrics, I guess, on the screen, during other certain portions. And I suppose you've got to experiment some. I know there are certain, something I've seen people use before is there are certain Facebook groups, or you could even create your own Facebook group that, is sort of a dummy group. And you stream specifically just to that, to test, right? So you're not streaming to your public account. You're streaming to this sort of secret group to make sure that everything works well and all this sort of stuff. So that might be something that people can do to sort of practice a little bit as well.
Well,
without,
and that,
you know.
Yeah. And that is a great point as well that, I had learned a long time ago on the Night Owl study, you can actually just screen to yourself. You can, when you are streaming on Facebook, you can set it up as stream only me. Mm-hmm. And so that it will be on your timeline, it will stream only to you and it's locked down. And then you can go and you can see, okay, how did the audio video sync up? How did everything flow? Did I feel good about it? But you raise a point, a very good point, rehearsing it. Rehearsing it because you've got so many moving parts. You're essentially becoming a television producer. And so if you're trying to produce this on the fly, you really need to rehearse. And so, one of the things I did was I set everything up in OBS, and then I went down the Saturday before that first Sunday, and I just ran through every transition, every link, tested the microphone, tested the videos that were submitted. And, it does allow you to adjust the sound a little bit. So I tried to adjust the sound level so that it was all relatively at the same volume. And I rehearsed everything, and critically making sure that the bandwidth at church for our wireless, network would be able to support the live streaming. That is critical, that you've got to make sure that you've got enough bandwidth, or otherwise you get stop, start, and it's a mess.
Yeah. And you see that, I think, on a lot of times when folks, especially recently when I've watched people that are trying to transition to doing things live, it just they'll end up in a space that has very, insufficient bandwidth, and it can just be a real mess because, the person who's speaking live, they don't even know there's a problem. So they just keep going. And then it's people, whatever, can get very frustrated. How did you validate that? How did you know that you had enough bandwidth? Did you, before you, got started?
Well, fortunately, we had done, some pretty massive upgrades at church. So I pretty well knew, but, pretty much just by testing. Mm-hmm. I tested. I did a dry run.
So I guess what I was asking is, how did you test that? You watched it on your phone as you were recording and made sure it looked okay, I guess. Is that what you mean?
Right. Yeah. I ran through everything, sent it to my own Facebook page, viewable only by me. And then after I was done recording the run through, I went back to my Facebook page and just watched the results I got.
Gotcha.
And I kind of had to do that too, to adjust the microphone's audio video delay. You can delay the audio feed by so many microseconds. And, I had to keep tweaking that again and again, so I didn't look like a bad dubbed foreign film.
Interesting. Is there and are there certain like video quality levels you can try to target to sort of fit under your bandwidth limit that you have to sort of adjust as well?
Yeah, a lot of those tutorials give you the numbers. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I just kind of looked at them in the tutorials, made the tweaks, didn't commit them to memory because, I'm still learning all of this stuff. There are certain parameters that make it a little bit easier. And like I said, when you look up those tutorials or info pages or YouTube instructional videos, wherever you find that information, it's readily available out there.
Sure. I guess, what is the reaction from your members of your church and such? What has the reaction been? What kind of comments? I'm curious if it's been, you know, this is obviously something that millennials and such are very used to, and you fit right in on TikTok or whatever, right? but what about some of the older folks that are less used to viewing things live and streaming and all that? What's kind of the reaction been?
Overall, the reaction has been very positive. We have not gotten any negative comments about what we've done. Of course, for many of our older people, it has aroused pretty strong emotion. Mm-hmm. And some of that emotion is just the sadness of the scenario that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had people tell me that they've been in tears watching the service, wishing they could be there in the sanctuary and with everybody. Mm-hmm. And to a degree, I think that's one of the reasons I am so insistent that at least I and the organist get down there to do it from the sanctuary, to keep giving people that touch point. You know, there's something about these special spaces that touch us very, very deeply. And you know, I want people to keep having that sense of lifeline. I do believe it gives them a glimmer of hope. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like the glimmer of hope of, oh, we're going to have a vaccine soon. Mm-hmm. It's just that little, you know, it's these little touches of hope, I think, that will help us get through this. And anything that we can do to give that little touch of hope, and, you know, and that goes back to the videos again. You see someone that you're missing, it gives you that little touch of hope. One of the additions we did this past Sunday, I don't know if you viewed the worship service all the way to the end, but I have a customary benediction that I give. And every week it's the same thing. And it's become one of those, it's kind of a distinctive benediction. It's one that I had picked up from a pastor, but it's become something that's kind of a mark for our congregation. Well, this week I had asked different members of the church each to contribute a video line of that. Mm-hmm. And one of my members edited all that into a montage. And so that's how we closed the worship service. And people just loved it.
Yeah.
They loved seeing all these people pronounce a blessing that, you know, these people that they're longing to see in person, face to face, pronouncing this blessing back to them. I think the other neat piece of this is we have a lot of our, I call them alumni, people who were here in Cincinnati, but have since moved away and moved to other cities. And a lot of them have tuned back in to our live stream, either because their church isn't doing it or their church is doing it at a different time. And these folks have reconnected back with us. And that's been really, really special.
Yeah, very cool. You know, and I guess, you know, those little tiny pieces of hope, as you said, or I mean, I think that can be so important to people, because I mean, this isolation that we're all experiencing just can be so off-putting and so, I don't know, so scary, really, you know, as a bottom line. I mean, it's not something we are built for. We are, I think, as a species, meant to congregate and be with our friends, you know. I guess, you know, what other advice or thoughts do you have on, you know, how can people remain hopeful in this time? How can, if they find themselves growing despondent, you know, what avenues can they follow to get more hope?
Well, you know, as a spiritual leader, you know, of course, I think our best, surest recourse of hope is the spiritual journey, you know. And so I'm a pastor of a Christian church. You know, I'm going to tell people, you know, draw closer to Christ in prayer and in trust and in all of these things. But, you know, the spiritual journey is certainly a thing that helps cultivate hope. You know, that's going to come in different packages for different folks. I was talking to our choir director just today, and she was telling me that, you know, what she is doing, you know, they just moved to a new house. They've got a lot more yard. She is spending a lot of time outdoors in the yard. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've talked to a couple of people that, you know, spending time outdoors, you can still social distance because you've got green space. And, you know, spending time in the goodness of God's creation is something that can rekindle hope. I think also gratitude, that gratitude is a basic spiritual discipline. You know, we still have so much to be grateful for. There is still so much good news. There are so many good things that are happening. When you look at the people that are out there trying to do good, people that are out there trying to help, people out there who are trying to alleviate suffering, people out there who are doing their best to try to brighten one another's days, all in the name of love. There are lots of things that we can be grateful for. And if we focus and emphasize gratitude, that that is something that certainly brings hope. You know, and you know, I guess we could also just look to the that instinct within, you know, the desire to serve. You want to kindle hope in yourself? Go do something for somebody. My running mantra right now is pick up the phone and call somebody. Yeah. Talk to somebody that you haven't talked to. Call a family member. Text a loved one. Text a friend. That is something simple and basic that you can do to just check in on somebody that is helping them. And that can help kindle hope. And then, of course, everybody has their own kind of things that they have to do for self-care, whether it's physical exercise or getting a time unplugging from technology and just sitting and being still for a few minutes, or reading a good book. All of these things can be tools and instruments that, you know, again, I'm a pastor. I ultimately think they're instruments in God's hands to bring hope and encouragement to people. And I'll wrap up the hope piece. As you know, I am from South Carolina. South Carolina, famously has two state mottos. The one that everyone knows, I don't even know the other state motto, but the one that everybody knows is "Dum spiro spero," while I breathe, I hope. And you know, I think that is a really good thing to remember, that while we yet have breath, there is still hope.
Awesome. Yeah, well said. So if there's folks out there that want to figure out how to get more into this new way of, you know, we'll call it doing business, if you're a pastor, how can they reach out if they have questions? How can they reach you? What's your contact information?
Sure. Probably the easiest thing to do is to email me at covfirstpastor@yahoo.com. That's covfirstpastor@yahoo.com. Yeah, you can try calling us at church. You can look us up, covfirstchurch.org. And, you know, our church number is there. You can leave a message for me at the office there as well. But email is probably going to be the best way to get hold of me. Be glad to help as best as I can. But one thing, it can be very intimidating. You take a look at some of these large churches and they have these slick production numbers. Don't be intimidated by that at all, because we're not in competition with the large churches. We're all kind of on the same team trying to bring people closer to Christ as we are in the church. But the other piece is the big thing you've got is your relationships with your people. And what we're just trying to do is to use the technology to continue to foster the relationships. And, you know, the relationships are what counts, not the bells and whistles. Use the technology to foster relationships. Don't think the technology is going to be a magic thing that's going to, you know, suddenly bring in bazillions of people. But technology is an incredibly useful tool to help you keep building the relationships that you have, and may possibly open the door to new relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if folks want to sort of also watch real time what you're doing to gain ideas from that and stuff, what time are you doing these live streams on your Facebook page? And I guess also, what is your Facebook page name so people can find it?
Sure. Well, we are Covenant First Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, just look us up on Facebook. We do the live stream at 10:30. On Sundays, usually we start about 10, 10:22, 10:23, we have an organ prelude, and we have that whole thing going. You know, that's a live organ prelude. We've got a pretty majestic instrument, and mm-hmm. we want that to be used. And so we've got, you know, the title screen up and the organ prelude going for those first 7 or 8 minutes. And then the worship service proper goes live right around 10:30. Though I have been putting the video on our YouTube page as well. And, you know, and that is one of the things. I think if I had this to do over again, I would probably just live stream straight to YouTube instead of Facebook. You know, I went to Facebook because we already had a lot of people there, and I thought it would be easier, but we have a lot of people that are not on Facebook, and I'm learning that there are plenty of people that are just completely checked out of Facebook and don't want anything to do with it. Whereas YouTube, kind of has more of a universal access. People treat it like a search engine more than anything. And I think I probably would have done live streams straight to YouTube. That is one of the downsides of the OBS software. You can only stream from it to one platform. You have to pick or choose.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the commercial, live stream people, there are a bunch of providers out there who will create your live stream for you, and they can send it out to multiple platforms. That's something we're probably going to experiment with and look at once we get on the other side of this COVID-19 sure. thing.
Right. Well, very cool. Well, so folks out there, I hope you'll reach out to Russell if you are needing help with this, and also check out what he's doing and watch some of his live streams, because he's really got it down. I mean, I think, like I said, I was pretty impressed watching it on Sunday, because it's one of those things that looks like you're paying someone thousands of dollars to do, because it can cost a lot to hire a professional service to do this for you. So you're doing a fantastic job sort of with your own elbow grease doing it yourself. And Russell, as always, great to chat with you and catch up with you on what you've been doing.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. I do have to say, though, I'm not doing it all myself. I have congregation members who are
sure.
recording videos. I've got an assistant who is now making the Canva things for me. We've got a music team. So, I mean, it is a team effort. I'm just kind of pulling it together. But thank you for the encouragement.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks. And we'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds great. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Unstoppable Talk. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, be sure to support the show by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. And learn more about this show by heading over to unstoppablesoftware.com. Until next time, keep innovating.